Looking at. So we've been starting a discussion about the miracles of Jesus and how there's lessons that we can use and learn from them that we can apply at this time of communion. The first one we looked at about a month ago was John, the second chapter, where he was at the wedding feast at Cana. And it says there in that passage, when Jesus performed the miracle there at the wedding feast in John chapter 2, verse 11, "This beginning of signs Jesus did in the Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And we discussed how this time of communion is a manifestation of the glory of Jesus Christ, just as the wedding feast at Cana, the miracle there. But we see in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says this, says, "One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put up a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you are fish for people.' So they pulled the boats up on shore, left everything, followed him." So we see in this miracle, as Jesus is out, his teaching, and he tells Simon to push a little bit farther out. In verse 4, we see the command that Jesus issues. He says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But notice Peter's response, a response that I'm sure we've all had. In fact, we've had, not all of us just have had this response, but I'm sure we've all had this response multiple times in our life. It says in verse 5 that Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." He's exhausted, this being Paul, or Peter, excuse me. He's exhausted. He's wearisome. It's been a long night, strenuous and difficult, and there's nothing to show for their labor. But then Simon continues on with his thought. The most, at times, important conjunction that you see, but. Simon says, "Lord, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." Even though he's exhausted, he's wearisome, he recognizes and acquiesces to Jesus' response. Maybe at some point in Peter's life, maybe it's possible that as a boy, he remembers the words of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, where it says in verse 10, the teacher searched to find just the right words, and he wrote down what was upright and true. And then in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes 12, it says, "Now all has been heard, for here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." Maybe Simon understood, yes, life was difficult this night. I have nothing to show for my intensive labor, but Lord, because you ask, I'll let down my nets. And then notice the result. A bountiful blessing, so much so that it seemed like it could literally kill Peter. Verse 6, it says, "When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink." I wonder for Peter and even those partners, James and John, if again another saying came to their mind, the one that the prophet Malachi spoke to Israel in chapter 10 and 11 of Malachi 3. Here Malachi is talking about tithe, but the principle here of blessings can be understood. And Malachi 3:10-11 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. So much blessing that Peter's net couldn't hold it. So much blessing that he had to call out for extra help. So much blessing that even the other net could barely contain it. And so much blessing that it almost sunk their boats and drowned them. Maybe sometimes when life is difficult, when it's just been hard, when it's wearisome, when we've worked all night and it seems like we have nothing to show it physically, that this is a perfect time as we gather here in spiritual remembrance, that though sometimes our physical blessings don't seem to manifest themselves, that the spiritual blessings are so bountiful, so much, that we can't contain it. At times, yes, we're exhausted and weary. And sometimes we do carry that attitude at this time of communion. But as we think about and reflect on the blessings that Christ has given us, and the most important blessing, that his obedience at the cross, so that we have the hope of redemption and salvation, that as we think about that blessing, that maybe we'll think about all the blessings that we've been given. So many blessings that we have that we can't contain them. And then maybe we'll be as Peter. And when Peter went to Jesus and he said, go away from me, for I'm a sinful man, Jesus didn't turn him away, just like Jesus doesn't turn us away now. He said, to follow me. So we're here, church, because we're following the commands of Jesus, because Jesus didn't turn us away, but Jesus blesses us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your blessing. That, Lord God, as we consider that how sometimes life is difficult, Lord, and wearisome, we're here at this time of communion because it's a remembrance of all the blessings you've given us. And the greatest blessing of all, the sacrifice of Christ. And through that sacrifice, the hope of redemption, the sanctification of our souls. What a great blessing that is. We continue to ask, Lord God, for your blessings to pour out upon us as we reflect upon all the blessings you have already given us. And Lord, we pray that we're thankful and grateful for those. And we lift this prayer up to you now through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.